Fits the movie. I'm already crying.
Yeah, this is going to be really
good. Oh, my God.
Got goosebumps.
Yeah.
Kind of sounds like all her other songs a little bit.
A little bit back to country roots is what she said with
Definitely.
This one. I love it. Yeah, that's
Definitely
kind of her thing.
School.
She said she's going back to her country roots with Toy Story 5, and she said it felt like a musical departure and coming home all at the same time. And she posted a picture on Instagram just as Jesse. And she called it a new challenge, and it felt like second nature. Dressed as Jesse as a child. I don't know if you've seen that on the New York Post as a story this morning. That's Taylor Swift's new song that is in Toy Story 5. Yeah, it's pretty cool to see her dressed as Jesse as a kid.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Talk about full circle.
Yeah, I'll repost that so everybody can check it out, though. But that's her new song, man. Love her.
This is a funny joke. You ready for it? Four beer company CEOs walk into a bar. CEO of Budweiser orders a Bud Light. CEO of Miller orders a Miller Light. CEO of Coors orders a Coors Light. CEO of Guinness orders a Coke. The other three look at him and ask, "Why aren't you drinking a Guinness?" The CEO of Guinness says, "Well, I figured you three weren't ordering a beer, so it would be rude if I did."
Nice.
Oh, boy. That got me to smile. Fernando Mendoza was still rostered, basically, on Indiana the last time the Knicks lost a basketball game.
That's right. The draft had not happened yet.
Can they sweep the Spurs? And if they do, will it be one of the greatest, if not the greatest, run of an NBA Finals team in the history of the NBA?
I mean, if they sweep the Spurs, I got to ask you guys, what's going to be said? What are we going to say about this
team? If they do it the way they've been doing it, which is the point differential,
yeah,
then there has to be a conversation, because I heard Nick Wright say, this Knicks team is special. Are they better than the 11 Golden State team? No. Are they better than the 97 Bulls team? Probably not. But they're really freaking good, is what he said. And the first game they played the Spurs, where they were underdogs, they won by 10. Mm-hmm. And they did it in the same way they've been beating everybody else. And this time it was a Western team. Maybe one of the better teams in the West that went seven games with the Thunder. And now the Knicks and Spurs play game two, and they won game one by 10 points where they were down by 14.
It's interesting because I think the national media maybe, and you know, we all take our cues from what we hear nationally, whether it's, you know, politics, whether it's sports, whether it's weather, it doesn't matter, Binkley. And you hear the national narrative around the Knicks is, oh, they're not that good, blah, blah, blah. Well, maybe we have spent way too much time saying why they aren't good instead of realizing maybe they are good. And all the blockades that everybody's been putting up, the West is better, the Knicks beat the JV, all of this kind of stuff. Instead of putting all that stuff up, why can't people recognize and go, you know what? Maybe we were all wrong about this. Maybe this is a really good basketball team, and we need to start giving them their flowers a little bit more. And maybe everybody just kind of misjudged the Knicks, because it sure seems like we have spent, and I talk about the collective, we, not the three of us, and you guys as well listening, but it feels like everybody is spending their time telling me why the Knicks aren't any good. And meanwhile, they're beating teams by double digits, and they've beaten everybody by double digits since the NFL draft. And so if they continue this track, and as Dusty mentioned, the point differential, they keep beating teams by double digits, and they end up sweeping this series, they are going to be talked about as one of the greatest of all time when it comes to championship teams. And nobody thought that kind of going into the postseason. I don't think many people expected the Knicks and Spurs to be standing when this is all said and done. Everybody thought it would be Oklahoma City, but it's not. It's the Knicks. And if they continue to win by double digits and they don't lose a game in the series, I think you do have to talk about them as being one of the greatest teams to win a championship of all time.
Yeah, it'd definitely be one of the greatest runs in sports. I don't know if I'd put them on the greatest teams or anything like that, but it'd be one of the greatest runs any sport, forget basketball, has ever seen, given the way their season went and given the way this playoff run's gone so far. But yeah, I would be, I don't know, I would be more shocked than I would about anything in sports, maybe, if this was a 4-0 sweep. Even if it was a gentleman's sweep, I would be floored.
Yeah.
Jaw drop shock. This is going six, at least in my opinion. It's going to be a great series. Yeah.
I want as many games we can possibly get.
Well, yes. And obviously the TV networks need it to go more than four, right? Because you don't make any money on the first four games. You make money on games 5, 6, and 7, because those are, you know, you sell four and everything else is extra money that comes in. So they want at least a fifth game for the TV networks. They'd get a sixth game. It's even better. They go to a seventh game. These networks are throwing, you know, parties and everybody's walking around with dollar bills hanging out their ass. It's a great time. Yeah,
game six at the Garden would be incredible.
And I'll tell you, James Dolan, part of the reason why they fired Tom Thibodeau last year is because that series did not reach a game seven, which would have given the Knicks another game at home to make more money. Had they made a game seven last year, there's a good chance Thibodeau still is coaching the New York Knicks, and maybe they're not in the NBA finals at this point in time. So the owners want it to go, obviously, as long as it can, because the gates are going to be huge for these things. But again, if this Knicks team continues to do what they're doing, they haven't lost since the night one of the NFL draft, and they continue to win by 10, 12, 14, 16 points, that's dominating. That's just not winning games. That's flat out dominating your opponent on a level where it's supposed to be the two best teams. Nobody's supposed to get blown out in a finals matchup.
Yeah, and I'm with the Texans. I don't think they're going to sweep the Spurs. I think the Spurs are really good. I'm interested to see how they come out and respond in game two. Mm-hmm. Still at their home court. Still, you know, now the butterflies and jitters are gone. Wimby's, you know, experience is done. What has he learned? Because mm-hmm. He had a fumble late in the fourth quarter that, to me, was like the pivotal move outside of the Jalen Brunson tipped rebound three, and then yeah. He went and hit the three in the corner. When that hit, I was like, all right, that's probably a bow on that package. It's probably done for game one. Now, rebound, go get game two, go to the Garden in the Big Apple and get an even series at 1-1 and see what the Garden has to show us.
And we'll see how fired up Brunson is tonight, too. Does anybody still know what he was yelling at the end of the game last night?
There were some fans heckling about some stuff. They were saying explicits and calling him like flopper.
Oh,
and like,
okay, that's right. We did talk about that. Yeah. So is that going to fire him up even more now, too, if the fans are going after him on the floor?
It's funny how athletes react differently. It's just mm-hmm. humans.
Yeah.
SGA dealt with that for 7 games. You never saw his face change.
Right.
But they channel it differently.
Using it as fuel.
And yeah, also, you know, one of those fans sitting right behind the Oklahoma City Thunder bench.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, either way, I'm sure they're vocally clear.
In San Antonio, I'm sure they were. I mean, I heard the whole crowd, flopper, fly.
Oh, you heard that.
SGA's just, again, and I'm not saying I like one or like the other.
Chanting flopper like that, that's not derogatory.
But they were using other.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go. Now, if you're doing other things, obviously, then that's a different ball game, right? But if the arena's chanting flopper, that's fine.
I am also curious to see how Brunson looks injury-wise. Like, I know the rest of that game he was able to get
through. You saw the blood on the bloody knee brace, right? A lot of people are attributing that to a shot.
And yeah, he definitely had a shot of something. Cortisone and adrenaline both got him through that game. We'll see exactly the swelling and all of that now.
Right.
We'll see how he looks tonight.
Yep.
Maybe he looks good after that first fall. I'm eyeing that
hard. Josh Hart going to show up tonight?
He needs to.
Yeah.
What Karl Anthony Towns are we going to see? That's another guy.
I think we're going to see the same Karl Anthony Towns that we've seen through this whole playoffs, man. He's been playing great. There's a good chance if he continues to play like this and they win, you could talk about him as the MVP.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that. I agree. He's been awesome. It's been a revelation, but he's got an alien on the other side guarding him. Yeah. So we'll see what he does.
We'll see. Well, absolutely. Like, game two will be magical. And
I'm excited.
The Brunson thing is interesting because we were talking about quack doctors yesterday, Dr. Chow and what a quack he is. I was listening to our sister station in New York talking Knicks a little bit yesterday, and they had a caller call up, and the guy's like, oh, my God, we got a doctor on our group chat. I'm like, okay, this is good. I'm listening, right? And he goes, yeah, the doctor on our group chat said, oh, yeah, that's torn ACL. He's done for the year, comes back and plays. Like, we've got these doctors out here that think they have these answers. They don't.
Just watch. Just enjoy. Be quiet. See this picture Timothy Chalamet just posted on his Instagram?
No, what is it?
Ice in the knees.
He's laying down. He's got big ice bags on his knees. He's going, people underestimate the wear and tear on the body of a fan throughout the playoffs.
True. Well, look, ask anybody who lived through 14 and 15 in October here in Kansas City what that was like. How's your liver? Most people will say it's just starting to soften. You know, because you're going every single night. It's draining. At least with the NBA, you get a night off, right? Maybe you get a couple of nights off. Baseball, it was every night, home and a road, and late games and early games. October of 14 and 15 were absolutely zeros when it came to productivity in this town. So I get it. I hope everybody who's a fan of that Knicks team is having zero productivity.
Yeah, for 14 and 15, there was a lot of blue bottle flus going around after many games. This is from Front Office Sports. 24 hours after the NBA Finals tipped off, cheapest ticket for Game 1 in San Antonio, $537. Cheapest ticket for Game 3 in New York City, $8,200.
Yeah, it went up double almost since the early part, since the Knicks won.
Okay, now I'll go.
Yeah. Yeah. But they were at $4,200. Now it's $8,200 to get in, and it went from $4,200 to $8,200 after Game 1.
Crazy.
Well, I better get it now because they may go up to 10 grand. I mean, just to even be able to have the thought to consider buying a ticket to this thing.
An article on ESPN was talking about the Royals and what they could do as trade season approaches here. Plus, A.J. Brown, well, he had some audio to say. And those Mavs that play at Cable Dahmer Arena, they go for the Kelly Cup tonight here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is Fesco and Dusty.
Brett Veach has the most underrated chest I've ever seen.
On your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Talked about the Taylor Swift song getting released for Toy Story 5 today, right? How long until it's the number one song on the charts?
It's not number one yet.
I was wondering. You know how that works, right? Didn't like Drake come out with an album recently and like all 40 songs were on the top 100 like for the first time in an artist's history? Especially the way we stream things and listen to things. They put that into an account now. I'm wondering if it's there by the end of the day.
That's what I'm wondering. I'm surprised, honestly, and I wasn't kind of being funny about it. I'm like, I'm surprised it's not number one already with the way things go. But yeah, you're right. Probably by the end of the day, and it will be up there as that number one song. Well, the movie comes out when? Today, or is it next week?
Ooh, I don't know if it's out yet.
Yeah.
I'd have to look at the
I thought it's like June 12th or June 19th.
The movie itself? Yeah. Oh, wow. I didn't know it was that early.
Well, maybe I'm wrong.
No, you would know more than me. That's
no,
awesome.
I would not.
oh, no, we did talk about this. That's Toy Story 1. Come on. Toy Story 5 release date. June 19th.
June 19th.
There you go.
Two weeks. I guess I was right. 2 weeks. Yeah.
I'm excited. That may be one I go see day of.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped about that movie, man. Yeah.
It's a wait until it's on the on the max for me.
It'll be on the box. I'll see
that in theaters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see that in theaters.
That's fine. Yeah.
I'll take the kids to go see that.
Oh, that's a good one.
We should do that. Yeah.
Somebody says, walk me off the ledge. Buy game 4 Knicks tickets only to flip them for profit.
Yeah. No, do it. How much are game 4 tickets going for? I bet you it's a lot less, right, than game 3 because everybody wants to be there for the first one for all that pomp and circumstance. But
if you think Spurs are winning tonight, you should do that.
You should buy game 4 because now all of a sudden game 4 becomes the clincher for you.
Huge deal.
And then you want to sell them before game 3 happens.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. You got to hit it right.
So you got to buy them today, hope they win tonight, and then sell them tomorrow, and then you're golden, right? All those things have to happen. But it depends on what they are. Like, if they're under 1,000, then obviously I would say, probably buy them, use that as a hedge. I'd buy them, and something would happen. I'd never be able to sell them, right?
Guys, I'm going to New York.
Yeah, but I'm telling that guy right there on the text line, I think that's probably a pretty good idea, depending on, again, what they're going for. If they're going for $4,200, then I would hit the brakes on that because I don't know that you're going to make much money at that rate. But if you can find them for under $1,000 right now for game 4, hell yeah.
All right, guys, let's have a little business chat here. I know Cody and Alex kind of hit on this because this article came out right as our show ended from Jeff Passan of ESPN, and it is with the trade deadline nearing, you're always going to have stuff like this, right? Like, Reed Detmers is a starting pitcher for the Los Angeles Angels. It's probably going to be somewhere else because he's their best player available. He writes about the Royals, best player available, Michael Wacha, as a player to trade.
Yeah.
Right? He says the Royals can't totally tear things down, not with Bobby and Garcia locked up long term, but the magic they found in 24 has dissipated into a puddle of meh. The deadline is an opportunity to turn the team over.
A puddle of what?
Meh.
M-E-H.
Yeah. And figure out how to replicate 24 when Kansas City went from 56 to 86 wins. Most of their top prospects are at the lower level, so focusing on near major league ready talent, ones who will be there when the Royals move into their new stadium in 2030 or 31 makes sense. And the list of desirable veterans is plentiful. Wacha has been tremendous and is under control for 2 more seasons. Mm-hmm. Same with Seth Lugo. Chris Bubich could be the best deal of the bunch and the least costly. Kansas City should listen on Cole Reagans, even Vinny Pasquantino, and Daniel Lynch IV. Mm-hmm. 2 years from free agency could be options.
Yeah, they should be listening on every single player on their team at this point in time. You're not winning baseball games, and you can't run this back next year either, right? Imagine if they tried to run it back with everything in place. I don't think the fans would be very happy about that, right? So you've got to find ways to turn over your roster and get better. And when you're in a season that's like this, and you don't have a postseason hope at this point in time. You've got to figure out ways to make yourself better going forward. And so you take a losing season and you find ways to turn that into a positive moving forward. And that could be moving some of the guys on the roster. Don't look now. Vinny Pasquantino to the Yankees, to me, now makes a lot of sense with the Aaron Judge injury. You know, all of a sudden now they're missing a bat in their lineup. Vinny's swing with that right field porch at Yankee Stadium, that makes a lot of sense. And if they're looking to upgrade their lineup, which they are, Vinny Pasquantino may be a sweet swing for Yankee Stadium. That's one that I could potentially see, you know, happening. We saw him there and we were talking about it when we were sitting there at the game back in April, like, man, Vinny would be perfect for this ballpark. Yeah, so right?
He could be a potential 40 home run guy.
Yeah, exactly. And so that would be one that if I'm the Yankees, I would come calling about Vinny Pasquantino at this point in time. Mm-hmm. And if you're the Royals, you have to be able to move and turn over your roster because it's not working right now. And you can't bring this back next season and expect fans to just go, oh, okay, we'll go back next season with that same roster. So you need to start turning over these pieces. Waka being signed for another year after this year as well is so good. You can get so much back in return for Michael Waka and Chris Bubich too. I mean, that guy's going to be a hot name, I would imagine, you know, coming down the trade deadline and giving somebody the opportunity to have him as a starter being infused right before the postseason run comes.
Yeah, and you look at the reasons behind it, because we know who plays right field, and that's Jack Caglione. He's really found himself out in right field.
Yeah,
right? The arm has always been there. He's really kind of got a feel for that area. Shout out to Rusty Koontz for kind of, again, developing another outfielder like Alex Gordon as well.
And that's your MVP right there.
Could be. And we know the relationship he has with Vinny. They're boys. Mm-hmm. They do the little, like, you know, the thirst look in the dugout before they go out into the field. But you have Vinny's replacement. And he is the 22-year-old kid that plays right field. Mm-hmm. And then I thought Drew Nixon made a good point about this yesterday as driving home listening, like what that would do possibly for Cags. Because one thing that a lot of people have been up and down about is that, you know, he doesn't play enough or he's not doing this. And then we got reports from Vernon's, from others, that maybe there's been kind of a temper problem of failure. And like, it's, hey, you can't do that, or you're not, it can't put you out there when you look like this, when you're, you know, acting a fool, maybe in the dugout or throwing your bat down on a fly out, all that sort of stuff. But if you put him at first and you let him know, like, hey, you're here, you're going to hit this every single day, what that could do for Cags mentally. And that was Drew's take, which I thought was a very good take.
Yep.
I also look at it from the Waka standpoint. He is not a part of your future.
No, he's not.
He's not. He's doing very good this year, and he's been a very good staple for your rotation this year. But that's a guy that maybe you get somebody that's in double A, triple A, that's not really ready yet, but maybe in a year or two when you're getting those guys that are in low A, single A, up to the mid-major, to the minor leagues, then those guys are getting developed and playing. And you got to develop these guys as well. But, you know, I personally agree with, like, you don't need to tear it all down. You can keep Garcia, keep Bobby, keep that left side of the infield. Don't need to get rid of those guys. But even a guy like, if Kyle Isbell's a piece for somebody.
Absolutely.
Like, he could go play center field as a defensive replacement, come in the ninth, lay down a bunt, and do things on the base path. Seth Lugo's
He'd be a
guy.
Great postseason baseball player in that standpoint,
Dusty.
He
screams to me like a Boston Red Sox
he
guy.
He does.
Kind of like that gritty, tough, you know, football player in the past, can go play center field. You know how the dimensions are out there in Fenway.
Yep.
And you look at guys like that, and Vinny's interesting to me because you'd look at Vinny this year and say, well, what value do we get from Vinny Pasquantino? Well, depending, like you said, dimension of your ballpark, left-handed swinger, first baseman.
Need.
You never know, right? You know,
the Yankees have a need, so when you have a need, you tend to offer more.
And we know his ties with New York as well,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely, big Jet fan, yeah.
And so, you know, you look at teams like, let's say the Braves and Matt Olson takes an injury.
Right.
They're going for the World Series.
Right.
Like, they are going to make moves that do what the Royals did with Ben Zobrist. Like, did the Royals need Ben Zobrist for a long time? No, they needed him for that
run. For that moment,
and
though.
And it worked, and you went all in, and you won. So you do have a replacement for Vinny. I don't know if Vinny is going to be traded. I don't know if that's the case, but he is going to be a name that might surface. And the good thing about that is you do have a backup plan. You have Jack Caglione in right field, which would play his natural position, which is first base. And then you can go from there. You went out and got Isaac Collins and Lane Thomas. Those guys would obviously play more if you got rid of some players on this roster. But I am with that theory of, like, it doesn't need to be taken down. It doesn't need to be Royal Rays, right? Start over from build back up.
Right.
It needs to be tinkered with, and you need to get things that can get you over this hump of a little bit of this staleness that we've seen this year. Again, 25-38, they win last night. They've won 3 of 4. They won the series in Cincinnati. They go game 2 tonight against the Twins. But this is going to be the conversation, and this is one thing that I always try to warn people about the trade deadline, is there's going to be names that you are very well attached to that you might like. that might not be here when you wake up on August 2nd.
And with the record the way it is, who cares? I mean, that's where we are right now. We can't continue to value players when a team isn't winning. I mean, I go back to this all the time. You know, people were mad when I said trade Travis Kelce. They were talking about it. They were listening. They listen on everything. And then they traded Tyreek Hill and won two more Super Bowls and went to three in a row. One player does not, you know, make the difference when you have that infrastructure in place and you can move on certain guys. And I think it would be very bad if the Royals don't make some trades as we get closer to the trade deadline, because you do have to turn over this roster right now. We're watching a product that isn't living up to what everybody thought it was going to live up to. And when the product doesn't live up to that, change is necessary and change needs to be made. And I think right now, by moving some players on this roster and getting some younger guys in here that could potentially be part of your future, that's what you have to do. And that's how you take a negative season and you potentially turn it in to a positive season, is by making those moves. But you can't be afraid to make those moves because of the name on the back of the jersey, because it really doesn't matter. We're here to watch the Royals win. We're here to watch the Chiefs win. Not here to necessarily watch individual players on teams that aren't producing team success. That's not a lot of fun.
I do find this kind of interesting. I don't know if I 100% agree with it, but there is a little bit of an interesting note in it. Watch Jack Caglione hit for more power if he isn't running around in the outfield. Well, so
there may be something to that. Yeah. Energy that's being spent out there, maybe possibly. A little bit, possibly. Yeah. You know, you can factor in anything. I don't mind somebody taking a stab at something like that.
Mac, this is kind of funny that you'll like Bob. It's hilarious. There's a what is it? A Kalshi trader has put $1,577 on Michael Penix Jr. to not win the NFL MVP this season. If they're correct, they'll win $1,593 for a profit of $16.
Hey,
I got a feeling you're going to win $16.
It's a hell of a return on your
investment. It's a profit.
It's a profit. It's a profit. Yeah. But you got to wait 8 months to get your $16. So it's probably not worth it.
No kidding.
That's funny.
AJ Brown. Well, there's a little bit of a leak here.
It was done purposely to give us a push. I know if I say something in the media, I know it's going to propel us to work on it. If you say what you need to say in the media, which I won't do that anymore, it gives everything legs and legs to push and to push everybody to be better. Because pressure isn't always a bad thing. It can also be a good thing, too. Honestly, I feel like it was okay to do because we had guys in the locker room.
So Patriots wide receiver A.J. Brown admitted to leaking stories about the Eagles to the media to motivate the team. It was done purposely to give us a push. It gives everything legs to push everyone to be better. I feel like it was okay to do. That's the audio that was kind of muggy to hear, but that's what he said in this interview. That's tough.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine dealing with that?
I mean, I don't know if I want that guy in my locker room.
I don't want that guy anywhere near my team.
I mean, the Chiefs PR team is great at keeping things locked like a pickle jar.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we know that.
Oh, yeah.
In the city, and that's why they are. I mean, you look at Tyreek Hill in Kansas City versus Tyreek Hill in Miami.
Completely different.
I mean, it was that quick.
Right.
You saw, like, oh.
Yeah, here are the rules that we follow here. Here are the rules they don't follow there. Right?
And I've got, you know, people that have told me that the New Heights podcast wouldn't happen if it wasn't with Jason Kelce.
Absolutely.
There's
yeah.
no chance Travis is doing that on his own. But since Jason's there and Andy knows Jason and they're pretty much a son of his, he's like, all right, but here's what we're going to have to, and they were winning Super Bowl.
Yeah, so and they were winning and all that kind of stuff. And it's Travis. You know he was going to be there. He wasn't going to let this deter. But this A.J. Brown
my God. You personally are fitting the narrative for what the media says so they can motivate the team with, like, maybe fake stories or not truth behind things or fabricating the way things are being dealt with. Like, that to me is not the sort of vibe or aura that you want within your locker room, which is already tense in the football season.
No doubt. It really is tense. Everybody's on edge all the time because everybody's job's on the line every week. Every player, you could be cut tomorrow. You don't know. There's no value. Coaches could be fired, all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so there really is no loyalty in the NFL. But there's a couple of things to touch on from him that I took notes on. First of all, I'm over the people in sports saying they don't pay attention to the media. We've seen a lot of instances this week where people in sports are reacting to what has been put out there in the media. This is just the next one. So if athletes don't believe in the media and they don't pay attention to the media, why is A.J. Brown leaking it to the media? There's still a very powerful voice that we have doing these jobs. People hear what we have to say, read if it's a newspaper. Lots of people consume our stuff, and what we say does carry weight. And so A.J. Brown knows that. So he got the number of a reporter, talked to him, and if you're a reporter, you're absolutely 1,000,000% doing this with AJ Brown. Yeah, if you want to give me all this stuff, I have no problem with that. That's awesome. Let's go. And then he talked about he won't do it anymore. How do we know he's not going to do it anymore? Just because he's in New England now and he acts like it's, you know, Mecca and he's with a coach that he likes. What if things do go south in New England? Because we have seen a guy who kind of didn't get his way, didn't get the numbers that he wanted, but was still on a winning team.
Won a ring.
Won a championship and was still complaining. So I look at a guy like that and I go, boy, you say you're never going to do this again. But your track record of success, and you were still doing that in Philadelphia. What makes me believe that you're not going to do this here in New England?
It shows me that he was never, I mean, even a Super Bowl couldn't please this
man.
And to me, it was more so like, the one thing I hate the most is sabotagers.
Yeah, and he's one of them.
And that's what this kind of gives me that vibe, is that he's going to media members and giving them stuff to write about, because two things can be true. One, he can be sabotaging stuff. The other thing is that he could be, you know, trying to start something where he knows his team is reading certain people's stuff
right.
or watching certain people's things. So, like, AJ Brown doing this is, to me, a tough look.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, you know, hey, what, you know, I'm going to talk to this guy and tell him this about Jalen Hurts. And I know Jalen Hurts is going to go over here and read it because he always tells me he reads this guy's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going to be like, well, where's he getting this information? Like, that's not true. And it's like, he's in the back going, I'm just going to watch it burn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You don't want that guy, or that guy's a detriment. No matter how good a player you are, man, you can't cannibalize yourself from the inside. Any organization that has somebody like an AJ Brown that's cannibalizing you from the inside, you got to get rid of that person. And now we know why the Eagles were like, yeah, we're getting rid of this guy because of what he's doing to that organization. And it's so hard to win in the NFL. You've got to have everybody on the same page. And the fact that he was doing it says a lot about his character and who he is. And if you had problems with guys, you're an alpha male. Go have that conversation with those people inside the locker room and be a man about it instead of leaking it to the media.
Mac, you hate this from AJ Brown?
Yeah. It sucks because I think him as a football player, there's a lot of things to defend, and I did defend it, and then he comes out and does this. And
both
it's like,
can be true, though.
Exactly. Yeah, both can coexist, but this kind of deters a lot of what I would have said about him before, and it's like, yeah, that sucks. That sucks. He pretty much only wants to play for Mike Vrabel, it seems. Doesn't matter if it's a good situation or bad situation. He just wants Vrabel.
Because he wasn't like this in Tennessee?
No.
No, you didn't hear much about him.
No, not
Tennessee.
At all.
Of course, it's Tennessee. It's not Philadelphia.
No, but it wasn't that way. Again, Mike Vrabel was there.
Yeah,
so he was
that's
happy.
Why I
was, he was pleased. He was getting the ball, but not like they were winning games that whole time.
Right. They weren't going to Super Bowls. They weren't winning the division. They weren't having the success, you know, that he had in Philadelphia, obviously.
And it's a really good point from the text line from the 816. It's also like insider trading.
It is. Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes,
a little bit.
Very
yeah.
much so.
Yeah. I mean,
just get a text that says, AJ, hey, you want to know something about Sirianni and Big Dom?
The well,
three
yeah.
dots are coming up immediately on his
of course,
phone.
Yeah. Like,
yes, please.
Yeah. Like,
that's just a tough look. What's not a tough look is the Kansas City Mavericks go for the Kelly Cup starting tonight.
Here we go.
Their fan base deserves this. Straight up. And I think, you know, it deserves to be talked about. Like, those people are loyal. I don't know if you've ever been to a Mavericks game. I've been to two, which bad job on my part. But every time I go, it's packed. It's loud. It's passionate, and I always bring up the fact that I used to work at Red Robin, and when it was Mavericks night, we knew. 5:30, those doors were slammed, and they were always slammed on a Monday night because kids eat free from 5 to 8 from, you know, ages 10 and under. And so, but when Mavericks night came in, it was always fans wearing their gear, always ready to go, telling you everything about, you know, the opposing team.
Who are they playing in this cup final? Do we know?
Never heard of it.
Sioux Falls or Arlington or something like that.
Yeah, let me look it up.
Quad City Mallards.
Is it Quad City Mallards? That'd be cool.
They're playing Florida Everblades.
Oh.
That's kind of a cool hockey name.
Everblades? Really cool. That is cool. Yeah. That is really cool, actually.
So we talk about how the Knicks fans, you know, really are embracing this team and won a championship. To me, like, minor league hockey in that Independence location is something that you don't really know about unless you've either seen it or experienced or have a friend that is part of it. And the cowbells go off and all these other things happen. But But the loyalness and the passionate type of fan that the Mavericks are, because I can be honest with you with our text line, I don't know if it's the same person, but it's like one word. I hope there's something about our local hockey team going for a, you know, a series win to get to the finals. And then they win and they go to the finals. They play tonight. It's game one. I think this is one of those sports stories where the fans are the stories. I know the team's doing it and they're good and they're getting there, but man, Mavericks fans show up, they show out, and they're passionate. And I'm rooting for them. I'm going to keep my eye to it. And go beat the Florida Everblades.
I love that name, the Florida Everblades. That is such a great name.
Yeah, got a cool logo, too.
Do they?
Yeah, it's like a gator-looking menacing coming out of there.
Ah, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you take advantage of what you have, right, from a name recognition standpoint. The Florida Everblades. I love it.
First two games in Kansas City tonight and tomorrow.
No graduations to get in the way of this one.
7:05 p.m. is when the puck drops tonight in the Cable Dahmer Arena, and then 6:05 Saturday night in Kansas City. Then they go Wednesday game three in Florida. That game will be at 6:30 Central Time for you locals that want to check that out. So go Mavs! Ring the cowbell! Bring all the cowbell you can. Coming up on the other side, a wife's approval is a must in life. 96.5 The Fan, you're over Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City Sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Inside information, not from A.J. Brown, but from the Florida man. Listening on the Odyssey app, I live down here in Fort Myers, Cape Coral. Must be nice. And I go to the Everblades all the time. It's a great venue and a lot of fun. They always throw hands. That's what we want to see. Not only do we want to see the Mavs win, we want to see somebody get their ass kicked. Playoff hockey, man. It's a different sport. Different sport. Last night, game two of the Stanley Cup Finals. Great game. Overtime winner as it's now 1-1. So that's interesting to see there. What's also interesting to see here is somebody's buddy having a tough time with his old lady.
Yeah, I'm going to use this for advice for Mac. Never ask your wife for permission to do something. My wife and I are in a relationship where we don't do that. We have a relationship where you want to do what you want to do. I want to do what I want to do. We coordinate our schedules and we go to it. These guys that have to ask permission for their wives, sorry, man, you married the wrong person. And I'm being honest with that. Your wife does not control you. She is your wife. She loves you. You love her, but you can still do your own things. These guys that are asking for permission to do things, and this comes from a satirical account, but it's kind of, I'm sure a lot of guys are going through this. Mm-hmm. And it's so let's review this Friday. This comes from at Murray Hill Guy One. My buddy moved from New York City to the suburbs and just informed us his wife isn't allowing him to come into the city tomorrow for the Knicks game. So let's review his Friday, which is today. 6 a.m. wake up for no reason, breakfast at 7, work from home until 3 p.m. because it's a summer Friday. I was going to say something, but I'll pass.
Pass that one. Yeah.
Ask wife if she wants to have sex, quote, has to ask. She's tired, so not today. Go for a neighborhood walk. Eat a mediocre chicken dinner seasoned exclusively with paprika. Crack open a room temperature Mick Ultra. Watch the Knicks game from the couch. Fall asleep by halftime on the couch. Wake up, game's over, see a Knicks victory, head to bed angry. I mean, right then and there. And so I'm looking at this. His wife isn't allowing him. And I do mean this in all sincerity. Your wife, you can't be living where your wife is allowing you to do things. And I do. I think that's a bad relationship when you have to go to your wife every single time and ask for permission to hang out with your friends or do your thing. Now, once you have kids and everybody's doing all their kind of stuff, it still gets busy. You still got to do it. You still got to fit things in. But like for our baseball trip, there's no permission where I go, can I go on my baseball? No, this is the week we're going on our baseball trip or whatever it is. Hey, I'm going out tonight or I'm doing this or I'm doing that. My wife's the same way. Hey, I got dinner with these folks. I got this with that. I got and we're all over the place. Never once has my wife said to me, can I go visit my girlfriend in Portland for the weekend? Or can I go to see my friend in Tennessee or wherever the case may be? She goes, I'm going to Portland on May 27th to see my friend. Okay, great. Fantastic. I hope you do. And that's the kind of the way that we do our relation. Now, we got into it when we were a little bit older, obviously. We've had our lives and all that kind of stuff. And I'm sure there are guys sitting there right now going, damn, Fesco, you're speaking out your ass. And for a lot of people, I probably am. But I will tell you this. If you have to ask permission for your wife, that just to me doesn't seem like a healthy relationship, man. You say, hey, this is what I want to do today. Do we have anything going on with the kids? If not, I'm out.
What if it's something that involves both of you? Like, hey, would you like to
go do this? Yeah, yeah. You talk about it. Hey, I got this event. This is what I would say. I've got this event coming up. Do you want to go with me?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go to that. That makes sense. And she does the same thing. Hey, I've got this thing coming up. Do you want to go? Yeah, I'll go to that. That's fine.
I guess, yeah, I don't find myself asking permission, but I find myself making sure that we're on the same page with things.
Oh, sure. Like, yeah.
Hey, I'm still planning on doing that this Saturday. That good with you? That kind of thing. Not permission, but right. Like, I'm making sure that we're on the same page that we've gotten, because our thing is like balancing, like making sure we spend all of our time with our friends and do that sort of stuff, but also make sure, hey, she works 12-hour days. I've got the morning shift, like those 3 or 4 hours at night where we eat dinner together. Let's make sure we're present and we're there and value those moments.
Sure, yeah.
So that would be just the balance of it. But no, permission, I'm so with you. And it's rampant, man.
Like, we have a great marriage. We have a great marriage. We do our arguing and our whipped cream and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's like at the end of the day, I couldn't have asked for a better partner in life.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I really couldn't. And I hope you're finding that, Mac.
Yes.
Like, you couldn't have asked for a better partner. You know you've made that right decision. And I just see stuff like this, and I see so many defeated guys out there. And you see them, too, at the soccer field or wherever it is. And you can just tell, I feel bad for you, bro. Like, you're in it in the thick. And that's why for me and my wife, we just have this great relationship where I'm not asking. She's not my keeper. She's not my boss. It's a partnership. And we have separate things we do. We have together things that we do. And so the Knicks are playing tonight, and you live in Jersey, and you want to take the train into the city to go watch the game with your friends, and your wife is telling you no, and then you're falling asleep on the couch while she's already in bed? Get bad.
Nah,
that ain't happening.
816 says, I won tickets to WrestleMania a few years ago. All expenses paid. My wife told me I couldn't go.
Why?
She's now my ex-wife.
Good!
It's still real to me, damn it.
No, that's a cool trip. Yeah, I'm not a wrestling guy, but you won an all-expenses paid trip to WrestleMania? Hell yeah, you're going to that.
Yes. And frankly, like, if you think it's cool, that's what matters.
Right.
If you want to do it, then your partner should totally support that.
Support you on
that. Be like, dude, that's awesome, man. Good for you. I can't wait. Can't wait to hear how it is.
Right. She's probably going, you're not going. I got to deal with the kids all weekend long. Well, okay.
I'm sorry.
Then, you know, you
chose to
have
children. For you in a couple months, but this is my moment.
Right. Yeah. And I'm going.
Yes. Yeah. I'm doing this.
Yeah. You have to do those things, because that's also, look, he said ex-wife, right?
Mm-hmm.
How things around the crib, you know, probably not great. She's not letting you do your thing.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Just keep notes in case you ever find somebody. But by the time you do, no offense, you're going to be in your 40s. She's probably going to be a little older. You're going to have your separate life. It's going to be the same thing. She's not going to sit there and lord over you. Like, that's bad. It's a bad relationship. If you have to get permission from your wife to do things, you're in a bad relationship.
Yeah, there's courtesy asking and making sure things are great. But yeah. Can I do this?
Because we have a...
No.
Absolutely not.
Can I hang out with my friends tonight?
I'm a grown-ass man.
Yeah.
I thought you'd never ask.
that's usually my response. Yeah.
This is, I think, kind of cool. This is from a female listener. She says, my husband and I always ask permission to do things. Not that we will ever say no, but it's just a courtesy,
well,
I guess.
Well, sure. Yeah. Permission, I don't think, is the right word to use. It's like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah. Now, like,
you know, I'm telling you what I'm going to do. I'm not just disappearing like Maloney does.
I will say, one of my buddies is got 5 kids. They're all young, and we do poker nights. And I'll tell him, like, hey, Saturday.
Do you have a set night where you do this? Where, like, every third Tuesday or something?
It's random.
Like, okay.
So it's like, it'll be like a Saturday. It's nice out. We'll do it in my garage and all that sort of stuff. And I'll be like, hey, poker. I'll literally text the group, be like, hey, poker, Saturday at 7.
How early do you text him if you're doing it Saturday?
It's from like a Tuesday.
Okay, that's right. Yeah.
And he'll be like, yeah, let me just check with the wife, make sure we have anything going on, because 7 o'clock. You know, raising small children.
Yeah.
That's about the time to wind down, put the kids to bed.
Right.
He's not going to leave her with 5 kids to put to bed.
Right.
Right. He's going to be like, okay, yeah, it's cool with us. I'm just going to be there at 8:30. I'm like, it's a cash game. You can buy it anytime you want. Feel free to come over, whatever. But that to me is still asking, but it's also like in a way of, doing it in a manner of, hey, the guys are playing poker Saturday. You mind if I go? I'm going to go if it, and I'll wait till after the kids go to bed. Oh, yeah, that's totally fine.
Yeah, no, see, I don't find that. That's like, here's what I'm going to. That's being a smart husband, though. Yeah. I mean, leaving your kid with, or your wife with five kids, yeah. I mean, that's just insanity.
You're just a jerk. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're
and,
a jerk.
And look, I've done stuff a lot less as I've had the kids, but that's because I want to spend time with my kids and be at their events and do their things. And in 3 years, when it's all said and done, Jen and I are going to be wandering aimlessly around town looking for things, right? So, I mean, Mac, you got any kids yet that we can go watch a game for? I mean, like, the hell's going on out here? But it's never going to come to you like where you're on your knees groveling. Can I please go watch the Knicks? Like, the Knicks are playing in game two tonight. If you're a wife and you won't let your husband go out to watch the game with his boys and he's a diehard, you suck as a wife. You just do.
I love this the whole time. This dude does nothing all day and still falls asleep at half. Maybe you're the problem. That's awesome.
But that's what it is. I mean, I can see this happening. It's a warm Mick Ultra and I'm out. And a lot of people also, too, and we're all guilty of this, we use our spouse as the excuse if we don't want to do something.
Totally.
My wife's got something going on. I can't. Or you use the kids as an excuse. Yeah. I'm running out of this.
And you
got
to be careful of that.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Because that builds a perception that isn't really true. You just don't want to do something.
Right. Yeah, and that's okay.
And that's fine.
It's fine. Yeah.
Social battery, man.
Speaking of, said Knicks and Spurs, plus Stanley Cup, plus a really cool Royal story, all of that on the other side on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Royals.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.